chapter 24, and we'll be reading several verses in this chapter. Chapter 24. I know that you want success, and God wants you to have success. But there's a way of going about it to have success, and what is success? Well, we want to thank the Lord this day, and we had this past Thanksgiving season, and I know that everybody had plenty to eat. I feel sure that you had plenty to eat. And how God has blessed so many families around this area. How God has blessed people so much, and yet they won't come back and render thanks to Him. But I'm just thankful today. What really does excite people? What is it about success that God wants us to have? I don't know when the football season's on. I don't know if this is Super Bowl or whatever it is. Sometimes around Thanksgiving they tell me they have a lot of ball games on. Y'all know I don't know anything about ball games. I don't look at ball games. I don't listen to ball games. And if you really want to torture me, sit me down, make me listen to a ball game or watch one. I'm not a ball fan. It's all right if you like it. That's fine. But that don't excite me. But really, a lot of things that does excite me, and I really do believe, no more than I know about ball, I really do believe in life itself. I believe that many of us are down goal to goal. Now, I know down one, I know a little bit about it. I know down one, and I believe down one in life, whenever God looked down upon human beings and said, there's none that does good, no, not one, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I believe that's down one. But you see, down two, I believe that Jesus Christ knew that there was nothing that we can do about our sinful condition. God looked down upon man, and Jesus Christ says, I'm willing to go down, Father, is that beautiful song that she sung. I'm ready to go down, Lord, that place that's called earth. So Jesus Christ saw men in their condition, and there was none good. So Jesus Christ came down, born as a virgin, and lived as a godly man, as a God man, 100% God, 100% man. I believe that was down too. They showed us how that we could live this life, how God intended for us to live. But then there's down three. Whenever Jesus Christ lived that life that God the Father wanted him to live here on this earth, he laid down his life. He laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for me. He laid down his life for the whole world. Anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. On his way that you'll ever be saved through Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. I believe that was down three, whenever he knew that mankind could not do it, but he would do it for us. And he was willing to go to that cross and die on the cross of Calvary, that our sins might be forgiven through the shed blood of what he shed on Calvary's cross. And how that we would acknowledge this, I believe that is down three in his life for you and I the day that Jesus Christ died for us. But you see, there's down four, that Jesus Christ died, he went into that tomb, he stayed there 3 days, he rose again. And on that third day, he came out of that tomb. He ascended back to the Father. And I believe it's down for you and I today. I believe it's down goal to goal that Jesus Christ is going to come back for his children one day. He's going to come back as a solo, get us one by one. But he's going to come back, either rapture the church. But I know that Jesus Christ is a promise of his word of God that he's coming back again. So I believe it's goal to goal in our life today, and I believe we're on the last line of the finishing of this life today. Today I just get excited about many things. Like I said, I don't get excited about ball games. It's fine that you do, but I'd rather be here and get excited about the things of God and be in the house of God with God's people than any other thing that I could really even think of or imagine that I'd want to do, and that's be in God's house. How people don't get excited about God's house, claim to know Jesus and Christ living in their heart, it is beyond me why they don't get excited at what Christ has done for them in their life and what he's going to do for them. It should make every one of us to be excited and be at God's house every time that we get a chance to be with God's people. Learning how to have super success in life. God gives us some principle here, and then I know this is a long chapter. It's a very beautiful chapter in this chapter, but it's a very, very helpful chapter for each and every one of us today. I would like to read this verse 12 in this chapter. If you in Genesis chapter 24 with your Bibles open, if you want to mark in your Bible, take notes, I hope you feel free to do so. This helped me a lot. I hope this sermon helps you as much as it helped me. Remember, it's always preached to me before it's ever preached to you. And I hope that I can bring this out to where it would help you as much that has helped me in studying this for the several hours that I put into the studying of these verses of scriptures in this chapter 24. And I saw it in a different light. It's amazing how many times that you read the Bible and read chapters and read verses of scriptures, and always the Spirit of God to show you something different that you never saw before in a different point. So I guess maybe I could preach from the same few verses of scriptures over and over and over again and never bring the same message about it, because of the Holy Spirit lets us see something different that we never saw before. So as you look in your Bible and in chapter 24 in verse 12, and it's talking about Abraham's servant. And it says in verse 12, as Abraham said, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now let us pray this morning. Father Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for this great, beautiful day. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here, Lord, that turn back and say thank you, Lord, for this past Thanksgiving season. Lord, the ones that are here today is thanking you, Lord, for their family and their health and their loved ones, Lord, and the great success that you have let us have just by being here in your presence, Father, is a thankfulness on our heart, God, for what you have done for us and how, Father, that you're with us every day. And, oh, Father, we just pray for those, Lord, that's less fortunate than we are, Lord, around the world that did not have the Thanksgiving season and the blessing, God, that we have had. Oh, Lord, we just want to ask you, Lord, to bless us through this season, the time of the year that we call Christmas Eve season, the Thanksgiving season. Lord, many be traveling on the road, Lord, and we know we have many people that's sick right now on our prayer list. And, Lord, see people sick and could not come here this hour would love to be here at your house, Lord, to hear these beautiful, beautiful songs sung that the name of Jesus Christ comes more clear to them, even in the music and the songs, oh God, and the prayers are offered up, Lord, that we may have the excitement in our heart knowing that you hear our prayers. And Father, for the reading of your precious word, we want to thank you, Lord, that this book is alive and your word is alive, Father, and it finds lodgment in our heart, Lord, to give us encouragement each day, God, that we live. And Father, how we pray and ask you, Lord, this hour to show us in your holy word that how that we need to be a successful person for Jesus Christ and for the call of God upon every one of our lives today, even in our country, our nation, and our family, and our church this day. Father, I just pray and ask you, Lord, to overshadow this place, God, with your love and your presence. We know that you're with us this hour. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, knowing that your presence is going to be here, Lord, and each heart, God, is going to be visited today. And Father, we just pray, God, that you might lay that heart open, oh God, and that word, Lord, to find lodgment in our heart. Truly, God, they might be able to say, Lord, what a great blessing it was, and get excited about it and tell other people, God, what excitement they are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you and all these many blessings we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. In verse 12, as I read, it says good speed. That word good speed is translated success. Five times in this chapter, this word is mean success or good speed. Now, what is success? Well, not necessarily we find out as being a famous person will be success. The world looks on success different than what God's people or God does. So necessarily, as you look out upon the world, you see somebody successful, but it wouldn't have to be somebody that's famous. Wouldn't have to be somebody that's real wealthy. A person told me not long ago, if they had $1 million, they wouldn't have any more problems. Do you really believe that? They believe that. I really believe they believe that. But I tell you, they'll have more problems. Movie stars has problems. Wealthy people has problems. Problems are here to stay. But you know, success not only it not have to be a famous person or a wealthy person, may not even have to be a healthy person. Success is a process now that we go through to realize of the goal of God for your life. Now, that's what success is all about. There's a process from time that God saved you, goes on every day in your life, and then begin to realize the goal of God for our life. If you want to be a successful person, you got to realize that there is a goal for your life. God has given every one of us, every child of God, a goal for our life. And as we progress on in our Christian Christian life, as we come, we read, we serve, we do what God has told us to do, we begin to realize the goal for our life. And that is a successful life when we realize what God has called us, let us be here on this earth for. Now, the background of these scriptures, many times I know that you've heard it. The background now is a typology, but I'm not going to preach a typology here this hour, but I'm going to let you get a little different view. But now, the typology of this in the Old Testament, we know that Abraham is represented here as God the Father. And we know that Eleazar, and then we have the Bride of Christ, and all these names. But so Abraham is here, we know many times is preached as a typology of God the Father, and it is. And we know that Isaac is also a typology of the bride, of the groom. And Eleazar is the Holy Spirit. That is the servant of Abraham. The bride, we know that as Rebecca, and that is the church. That's preached many times, and I've preached that many times. It is a beautiful, beautiful illustration, typology of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that is the church in the Old Testament. So we find out the Holy Spirit seeks a bride for the Father, for His Son, which is Isaac, Jesus Christ. But I'd like for us to look at this in a different viewpoint now in this chapter 24 to show how a faithful servant can also have success. Now, you are the servant this hour. This is a little bit of a different viewpoint. I want you to understand that you are the servant. Paul says that I am a servant. I am a bond servant to Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand this morning, every one of us is a child of God, is a servant of Jesus Christ. You are a servant this day. You have been sent on a mission now from your Father. There's a mission that God has sent you on in this life. There is a goal that God has given you while you walk this earth and while you breathe His air, while you eat His food, and while you live in His house, while you spend His money, while you have His health. There is a goal for you to have in your life, and God has given every child of God a goal. If you want to be successful in life, I'm telling you, you got to realize and recognize the process that God goes through to have this goal that you might see and understand for your life. So He shows us how a faithful servant can have success and how you and I can have success also or be successful. Now, we are that service. How can we have this progressive realization going on for the will of God in our life? Well, by doing what God has called us to do, by the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, by reading the Word of God. Well, there's six principles here from Eleazar the servant that help us, you and I, to find out exactly how that goal is working out in our life. Every one of us, do you understand that God has got a goal for you and He wants it worked out in your life? Well, these six principles that God allowed me to study this week, well, showed me, and I tell you, I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing me. If it helps no one else, it helped me, and I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see in this chapter the goal that is for my life. Because you and I, you may not understand it, but you and I are living this life very fast, and the hourglass of my hourglass is sand is sifting very fast, and I know myself, I don't have that much longer on this earth to do the goal that God has called me to do. I've got just long enough to do what God has called me to do. When I get through with the goal, I will not be here in this life. You have a goal for God, and the time, hourglass is passing very fast. The sand is getting to the very, very low, and a lot of our hourglasses now that God has called us to do while we're living here on this earth. You remember now, you're not yourself. You've been bought with a great price, the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. You not belong to yourself. God has given you a mission. Now, here is the principle. The first one we have here is, you know, to fix your focus. Now, God wants you to focus on something in your life that God allowed you to have. He didn't give you life to live here on this earth just to get all you can and set on the rest of it. I'm going to tell you, a lot of us are retired. He didn't give you your retirement. He didn't stay with your life and have you healthy and make a way for you to retire, for you to go home and grab your whatever you want to grab and take off and don't come back for a while. He wants you to do what God has called you to do. Now, you retired, God has still called you to do the same thing He's called you to do, and that is be a servant for Jesus Christ. There's a goal in your life, so you need to fix your focus. On verses 1 through 4, here now is a servant fixing to take off on a trip, and Abraham calls his servant in, and he talks with him in verses 1 through 4. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his oldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thee thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by God, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. Now we find that Abraham now, God has called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans. He went off where God had called him to go, but now he needs a wife for his son Isaac. Now Eleazar is his servant, his high servant. Eleazar now fixes his focus now on the goal that he has gave him to do. Master, he calls him Lord. Master, because it's very, very specific goal that he's called him to do. God has called you to do. You are a servant of God. God's called you aside now. He's called you out. You are a called one. You've been set aside for a goal and a purpose. God has called you that. Now, it's a very specific purpose that God has called you for, and a very specific thing. He did not call me to do what he's called you to do. He did not call you what he called me to do. Everyone have a different one. The power in specific goals that we have. They have power now. We need a goal for this church. I mean, we really need gold. God has been working on me with that. We need gold. You need goals for your family. You need to focus on this goal. You need a goal for your personal life. There's power in these specific goals in our life. I remember, you know, that I began to watch Yogi Berra again on television. You know, when your kids get grown, you got to watch cartoons, but when they get gone, you think your cartoon days are over with, but it ain't. You have your grandkids come along. You start watching them cartoons again, all over again. You remember them back when your kids were small, them same old cartoons, old Yogi Berra, you know, in Yellowstone National Park. You know what? Sometimes he says some things that make you want to listen. Even while you're watching cartoons, you can learn something if you listen. Yogi Berra says, you got to be very careful if you don't know where you're going because you might make it there. That's cartoon, but it's pretty good, is it not? You got to be very careful now if you don't know where you're going, because you know what? You might make it there. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people don't know where they're going, but they're making it there. They are making it there, but you see, no goal in their life. It's like a ship without a rudder on the sea of life, and they don't know where they're going. I mean, here today, they're not worshiping the Lord today. They're just traveling here, and they're traveling. They have a little bit of happiness here, and then things happen there. They have no goal for their life. Oh, they get up, and they go to work, and come back home. You know, they might go out and do this and go out and do that. They have no goal for their life. The next day, they have no goal for their life. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ has given you a goal if you're born again. I'm going to tell you what, he has given you a goal. If you got a goal, you know what? You need to enable you to steer your life. God's give you a goal, and that's the reason he give you a goal, that you say you know where you're going. You ought to know where you're going in life. God has give you this goal to help steer you through life. What God has called you to do, what God wants you to do. What's God called you to do as a child of God? There should be a goal in your life to steer your life. And that steering wheel there is the goal that God has given you, and he's enabled you to do this. He gave you everything they are to make sure that goal is accomplished in this life that you're living today. If you want to be a successful person, your goal. Our church ought to have goals. Listen, mothers and fathers, you ought to have goals. You ought to have goals for your family. Your children ought to have goals. You ought to have goals for your job. You ought to have goals for your business. We need goals. How can you tell if they are God-giving or not now? You come down into our life now, and how do we know if these goals are God-given or not? He gives us tests to see whether they are the goals or not. There's a lot of goals in life. Is it a God-given goal? Is it a specific goal in your life that God's called you to do? That's one way. Does it create excitement in you? If the goal that God has given you, you find out if it's from God, it's a very specific goal that God has given you, and then if it is, you find out if it's his will or not, find out if it's from God or not, because does it create any excitement in you? Evidently, some people don't have any excitement whatsoever to do the goal that God has called them to do. I mean, you ought to get excited what God's called you to do in life, but some people have no excitement whatsoever. Does it demand you to give your very best? I mean, I believe we ought to give God our best, amen? I mean, that's exactly what it ought to be, to give God our best. We have a movement going on not too far from us, even in our association, that are people getting together, and you know what? They're trying to destroy structural church. Let me tell you what that is. They say on the outside, come just like you are. If you've been down to the beach, you got your bikini on, we having church, come on by, it's all right. But I want to tell you, it's not all right. It is destroying instructional churches as we know it of today. There's a great movement today all over across our land, and even closer to you what you think it is. If they got two shirts, you got two shirts. One, both of them got a tear in it. One tear's bigger than the other one. Which shirt would you wear? The one with the greater tear or the lesser tear? I want to tell you what they're saying. You wear the one with the greater tear. It don't matter. But I'm going to tell you what, you wear the one with the lesser tear because you give God your best. Destroying instructional churches today. It does matter. You give God your best. So you find out and you look and see, is it best to God to man your very best? Four things. Could we pray over that, ask God to help us reach this goal? Could we pray over and ask God to reach this goal? Specific enough, you know what, to know that when we have achieved it, we know it's from God. Whenever we know we have achieved it from God, it's God's goal. Now, there's a lot of things we need to understand. Goal for every area of our life. I just want to hit on a few of them. You know, your body, our weight, our weight. You know, some of us are overweight. You know what you're going to have to do? You need to set a goal. Now, if you set a goal, you need to start weighing to start with. Set a goal how much that you want to weigh. If you want to lose weight, you're going to have to set a goal to lose weight. You know, I started exercising. I don't like to exercise. I don't like to work. I don't like to ride bicycles. I don't like to walk. I don't like to walk on a treadmill. I don't like to exercise, period. But I got to set a goal. I got to. A goal I got to make. An hour a day or hour three times a week or whatever it is, but there got to be a goal. You got to set a goal. There need to be a goal set for your mind. What type of books, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to watch on television. You know how much you're going to read the Bible. They ought to be a goal for your mind. They ought to be a goal for you to soul win. I'm going to tell you, you're this day, they ought to be a goal right now that you set. Maybe we have these commitment cards. They ought to be a goal that you set. Am I going to try to win? How many people am I going to try to win the Lord next year, next month, next week, or whatever? Am I going to really try to win someone to the Lord? Am I going to tell anybody about Jesus? Is there any type of goal in your life that you're going to tell someone about Jesus Christ? They ought to be a goal if you're going to be a soul winner person called by Jesus Christ. They ought to be a goal to help people find their way to Jesus Christ. And they ought to be a goal on our finances. There ought to be a goal on our finances, on our family. There ought to be a goal on our finances, on our church. They ought to be a goal. They ought to be a goal on your family today. Your family ought to have a goal. Where are they going to be in life? They ought to be a goal. So the first thing we do, we fix our focus. That's what the servant of Abraham done. He fixed his focus on the goal that God had called him to do. Then you see the next thing he done, he faced the facts. And here's what I got to do. He says, I'm facing these facts. This is the facts. I'm going to get a bride for that Isaac. I'm going to go to get a bride somewhere. All right, now, where are you now? To start with, you see, you got to face these facts. Where are you now? Have you ever been traveling and you didn't know, and you got lost, you didn't know where you're going? Somebody maybe in the car would have said, hey, well, why don't you call so-and-so, and they'll tell you how to get there. Well, that won't do no good because I don't know where I'm at. If you don't know where you're at, it ain't going to do no good to call nobody and ask you how to get to their house or wherever you're going if you don't know where you're at. So to start with, you see, we need to face these facts. Where are you at this time? If you have a goal that God's called you to do, and he has, and I'm going to tell you why you need to fix your focus on that goal that God's called you to do. But to start with, you got to find out where you at. Where are you at? See, face the facts. See, what do you need to do? Where are you going? See, just exactly as I said, you need to, if you're going to lose some weight, or where are you at? Well, to start with, you got to get on the scales and find out how much you are, if you're going to lose, how much you weigh if you're going to lose some weight. There's facing the facts. The facts is I weigh so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, if you don't get on the scale and know where you're at, you can't lose weight because you don't know where you started from. To start with now, you got to fix your focus. You know, God has called him to go get a bride for Isaac. He has given him a goal. To start with now, we need to face these facts. Where am I at right now? How am I going to get this to do it? What am I going to do? Face these facts. How much do I weigh? Where am I at right now? Where are you at in the goal that God has set for you in your life? Where are you at? No matter how old you are, how long that you've been saved, but where are you at in the goal that God has set for you while you're living on this earth? As I said, while you're drinking his water, eating his food, breathing his air, it all belongs to him. You don't have anything, everything you have, God has allowed you to have what you got. Nothing belongs to you. You are a steward of it. Nothing that you own. You are in Christ Jesus, and you know what? He's bought you, and you have nothing whatsoever. Nothing. Everything belongs to God. He has allowed you to be a steward of this because one day, I don't care what you have, it's going to belong to someone else. It's going to belong to someone else. Where is the goal that God has set for you in your life? Well, the next thing we find out what you got to do is fix your focus on what God has called us to do.
And then you'll face the facts. Where am I at to reach this goal? Where am I at now in life? Am I doing what God called me to do? Am I at the house of God? Am I studying the Word of God? Am I doing what God called me to do? If God has called you to go in your life, if God has called you to sing, as Mother Orwell said, how come you ain't singing? Where are you at? You're sitting on the pews where you ought to be. You ought to be in the choir. How much are you giving? Are you giving the tithe that God has called you to give? Are you tithing 10% as God has called you to tithe? Where are you at now? You see, you got to face the facts where you at in your life. Are you coming to church as you ought to come to church? Are you hit and miss, come once in a while? Is that what God has called Christian people to do? It just come once in a while when you feel like it? As I said the other night, you know, it's not that you have to come to church. You ought to want to come to church. I said, I thank you, God, this morning that I got a chance to come to church this morning. I got a chance to come to be with God's people. God allowed me to be here. I'm not in the hospital, thank the Lord, Brother Robert. We're not up there being operated on, are we? I'm here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. I got to be here. I got a chance to be here within God's house and God's people. Whoa, do those people say, I don't know how come I got to be there. Whoa, if they think they got to be here. Whoa, if they think I got to be here. Whoa, to those people. Claim to be saved. Lord, Lord, haven't we done this in thy name? You depart from me. You wouldn't even come to my house. You'd acknowledge me as Lord and Savior of your life. I didn't ever know you. Oh, yeah, they're going to hear that. They're going to hear that. As you follow along in verse 5 and 6, we find in this same chapter, and the servant said unto him, provincially, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I need bring thy son again into this land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son hither again. He said, well, what am I going to do if she don't come? I'm going to get him and bring her. No, he says, you don't do that. You just don't worry. You just fortify your faith. Yeah, you fix your focus. You face your facts about it. And then you fortify your faith. And here's what he said for him to do in verse 7. We find there in verse 7, Eleazar, now as Abraham told him the scriptures, he told him about the word of God and the promise of God in verse 7. As you look in verse 7, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kinmen, and which spoke unto me, there's the word of God, that he spoke unto me and swore unto me, saying, now here's a promise of God. Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence. There it is, the promise of the word of God, and there's the word of God. Here it is, he says, now servant, and you too as servants. Here is the word of God and the promise of God on your life for the goal that God has called you to do. All you got to do is fortify your faith that God said it, it's promised, and you can do what God has called you to do, and you should be doing what God has called you to do. Which spoken to me, the word of God. The secret is, you know what? It's got to be built on the word of God and the promise of God, of the word of God. It's not your problems, but his promise. Now there in verse 10 it says, and the servant took 10 camels and the camels of his master and departed, and all the goods of his master were in his hands, and he rose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. Now it's the same thing it was in Joshua's day. Now there's a problem. He says, now you meditate on the word of God. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 says about the same thing that this servant did. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not part out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that was written therein. For then shalt thou make thy path prosperous, and then shalt have good success. That you'll have success. If you want to have success, people, there's only one way. And that's what I can show you here this hour. It's God's word and God's promise. Get in on what God has called you to do, and you need to fix your focus on what God has called the goal in your life to be. It's not to get out and make all the money you can on the job you got, the business you got. You think you got to grow your business bigger and bigger and bigger, and you got to be out this job and that job. No. Fix your eye on the focus that God called you to be here, and you face the facts where that you might be. And then what you do, you fortify your faith, what God has called you to do. This is the most important thing in your life, not your job. People say, well, you got to make a living. No, you got to make a life. That's the most important thing, and it's not what you get, it's what you give that makes a life to start with. And here today, I'm going to tell you what, you need to fortify your faith, what God has called you to do in this life, what little time, what little breath, what little life, that God has given you a blessing that you're going to be here, because it's passing away, and it's passing away in a hurry. Fortify your faith by the scriptures, also by the meditating on the scriptures, on the promise. Until you stay there on the promise, read it, you study it, and the promise begins to burn in your heart, and you know what God has called you to do, and that be the goal. Till you know, as God will, and for His glory, that you fortify your faith by meditating on the Word of God and by prayer. Verse 12 again, as I read, he says, "And a servant, I say, I pray thee, Lord," that's by prayer. If you do not pray over it, it will reveal to you if you really have a desire to do the goal of God or not, whether it be good or bad. It will find out. It will find out if you're dependent on it yourself or you want to depend on God to help you. Now, as we go on down to verses 11 through 14 again, if you find your Bible, verses 11 through 14. "And he made his camel to kneel down." He's always went down to where, back to Mesopotamia now. He's there now by the city, and he comes and he says in verse 11, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, when the time that women go out to draw water, women draw water." Now he's back there in Mesopotamia. The servant is where all these camels. "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughter of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it be come to pass." Now he's trying to tell God, how am I going to know this is going to be the woman? He says, "Now let it come to pass that this damsel, that this woman be whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she may say, drink, and I will give the camel's drink also. Let this same be her that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and therefore shall I know that thou hast surely showed kindness unto my servant. Now when I get there, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring the camels there to this well, and you know what? I'm going to be looking for a woman. I'm going to ask for a drink of water, and she's going to take this drink of water and this pitcher off her head, and she's going to give me water, and then she's going to say, well, I'm going to draw water for your camels also. Let that be the woman that's going to marry Isaac." Do you believe it happened that way? Do y'all believe it happened that way? Because that is the sovereignty of God. What happened? He fortified the faith there. That's exactly what happened, exactly what he says. Then you know what? You formalize now, formulate the function that's fixing to happen. Now, this is fixing to happen now. Now, he's got a plan. This was his plan now in that verses 11 through 14. Man, I'm going to tell you, then you find out also in March 11, 24, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them and ye shall have them." You see, he prayed about this thing, and let it happen just like this, Lord. And I'm going to tell you, it happened just like that. Now he looks and see what this problem are. Now, is this the right girl? Now, can I convince her to come home with me? And how about just convincing her parents to let her come? Maybe there's a roadblock. You see, every time we have a goal in life, there's a lot of time there's a roadblock. The roadblocks don't mean it's not God's will just because you find some roadblocks. Paul says, you know, there's an affectional door open to us, you know, but there'll be many adversaries. Just because God has called you, there'll be many, many adversaries. The door of opportunity, I'm going to tell you, swings on the hinges of opposition. You say, we got problems in our church. Yeah, we always will. We're always going to have problems, but you see, there's opportunity. Where there are problems, there are opportunities. Problems are opportunities in reverse that we might be able to grow and be better. Does your job have problems on it? I mean, you work today. Does your job have problems on it? Does your business have problems? Now, this part really helped me a lot. Now, does it have jobs? Do you have problems? Do you really have problems on your job? And do you really have problems in your business? You say, yeah, man, you don't know what I have to go through every day. You just don't know what I have to go through every day. Well, I say, you know what? I have the same thing. And I say, good that you got problems. Because if you didn't have problems, they wouldn't need you. If they didn't have problems, they wouldn't need you. Now, that helped me as a pastor, too. Man, I tell you, I wish I could get some of these problems. There's always something coming up. You just don't know. There's always somebody mad at somebody else. There's always somebody doing this. There's always somebody. Always problems. And I say, God, let somebody else do these problems. I want to go over and sit by Daryl. No, I don't. I want to sit by Laura. But you see, the problems are my ministry. God said, son,
these problems are your ministry. If you didn't have no problems at church, they wouldn't need you. These problems are our ministry. You see, you got a goal, they're going to be problems. They're going to be problems. They're going to be problems. But you see, you need to see these problems and diagnose them as problems, and you know what? Design a plan for it. Eliezer said, how am I going to find out the right girl? And she's going to, well, you know, she's going to volunteer to give me water, water my camels, and I'm going to invite her to come home with me. Because, see, there's no problem too big the people can't solve. Just sometimes the problem too big that there are not enough wise people and not enough godly people to solve them. Man was going to a county fair. He had a pig under one arm and a chicken under one arm, and he's holding a basket. He stopped and asked this lady, how do you get to the county farm? She said, well, you go so and so and so and so, but there's a shortcut across the woods. He said, well, you go and show me the way. She says, no, I ain't going to go show you the way. You get me out there in the woods and you'd kiss me. He said, well, I got a pig under this arm and a chicken under this arm and I'm holding a basket. How could I kiss you? She said, well, you could take that basket and put it over that chicken. And she said, I could hold the pig. You see, there's always a way to solve the problems. There's always a way to solve the problems. Design a plan. Well, we fixed on our focus now. We know that we got to do this. We face the facts. We got a problem. Fortify the faith that's in the Word of God for you and every one of us. Formulate this function now. Now, firm up your faith. Here it comes. Now, Eleazar, now he needed to discipline himself. He needed to discipline himself in his decision. Is this right now? In verse 21 it says, and the man wondered at her, held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosper or not. Is this going to be the woman? All right, he discipled now his decision. This is going to be it. He's waiting on the Lord. Is that the woman? You see, and also he discipled his happy type, because in verse 33 it said, come on in and eat. Now the famous said, come on and eat. And there was set in before him meat to eat. And he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he spoke on. I ain't got time to eat. And then you see what he disciplined his speech in verse 49. The servant, you know, began to speak. He said, wait now in verse 49. And now if thou will deal kindly and truly with my servant, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left hand. He discipled his time there in 56, verse 56. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I might go to my own master. He said, because you see, I can't waste my time. Let me know. I can't waste my time. Use of my time. You see, as I said to start with, I can assure you my time is running out. I can assure you my time is running out on the goal that God has set for me to do while I'm in this life. I.B., where do you need to be growing personally? Where do I need to be growing personally? Pleasant Hill. Did you know I want Pleasant Hill to have a growing pastor? Because I need more discipline in my life that I might grow more. And I want to tell you, if your professional life outpaces your spiritual life, you're going to have stress. If your professional life outpaces your spiritual life, you're going to live a life of stress. You better write that down. You better remember it. If this church grows, I must grow. To reach the goal that God wants me to have, I must grow. And also, you must go because you got goals also. Well, where's the price to pay, you see? You got to form a friendship. Now, there's always a price to pay for every goal that God set. Well, I like to read verse 50 on down to 54. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the things proceed from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that Abraham's servant heard these words. He worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and jewels of raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her mother and to her mother's and her mother her brother also to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up early in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. You see, next thing he had to do was fortify our friendship. Now, we can't do this goal on our own. You're all the way down to the bottom part now, but you can't do this on own. Abraham gave gifts now to his servant, Eleazar. But he did not hold them for himself. Now, you are the servant, remember? What are you seeking for? To bring a bride for Christ, for soul for Christ. He have gave you great talents, have he not? He has gave you a lot of money. He's gave you a lot of talents. He gave you a lot of wealth. He's gave you a lot of things. Just as Abraham gave his elder servant. You are a servant. He gave him great blessings. He gave him great money. Now, God has given to us, every one of us, spiritual gifts also. He gave this gift to the servant. Now, God has given every one of us spiritual gifts. Every one of us. You see, the servant didn't use these gifts, those 10 camels full of gifts. He did not use them gift for himself. But he used himself, those gifts, to give away to others. God has given every one of us gifts. And yet we have to beg people to do what we get them to do. God has given us great gifts, and what we're supposed to do them for others. Do we need to enlist people and their gifts that they have? How can we share this gift? God puts us all together as one in a church to help one another. What for? For the bride of Isaac. That's what for. For the bride. The soul win. Success. Everything that God has given us. You see, so if God has given you this talent for teaching, you know what you need to do? You need to teach. If God has given you just a talent, you know what? That you need to be encouraging. You need to be here to encourage people. You know, God has given every one of us gifts. Every one of us. But you see, we use these gifts on others. And we bring them, what for? For the bride of Christ. There's one reason for the bride of Christ. So I'm going to tell you these six principles. If you want to be successful, not in this world's eyes, but in the eyes of God, because I'm going to tell you, your sand glass, I'm telling you, is getting mighty, mighty low, as a lot of people, I know mine is. There's only just a few more days, the old song goes, there's a few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done. Life, evening sun is sinking low on a lot of us today. And I'm going to tell you, God has called you for a goal in life. Are you going to be successful in that goal? It's all up to you. It's the word of God. And it's a promise of God to help you. But you got to do these six things. I hope they helped you as much as it helped me. And maybe they might help us to keep us as it does me complaining so much. Well, I got more problems. Well, if you didn't have problems, they wouldn't need you. You got problems on your job? Well, I'll need and I'll go to another job. And see, I'll go to another church. They won't have no problems over there. They'll have problems at another church too because you're there. You see, we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems, but you see, we're here to meet this problem with the promises of God. And on your job, you just remember, if you're working your job, you're too busy, be growing in the Lord, you're too busy. And you're going to live under stress until you get the spiritual side of it right. And no matter what you are, what you're doing. It might be a time that people might want to come this hour for a song of invitation as we begin to sing. You might want to come and just want to say thank you, Lord. You might just want to come and bow this altar and just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing me and for letting me be here this hour and just for showing me some things. You see, I thank the Lord for preaching God's word because, see, I don't know what he's told you, something different probably than what he's told me, but he's told everybody something here this hour. What's he told you to do? I know he's put something on your heart and your mind. Now, whatever it be, you know what, you need to look at this outline and you need to get together with God and make sure this goal is carried out. As we stand, we sing glorious songs to our Lord and Savior as we thank